Well, praise the Lord. I've got us on YouTube just a little bit early so that we can get everyone on. I just now unmuted the microphone and get us ready to go and got the CD going. Hope you've all had a good afternoon. Sister Kathy had put on there to pray for her. She's been having breathing problems and some chest pain since this morning, and so do keep her in prayer. And I hope to have some joining us tonight. I'll give you just a few more minutes here. I think we're just a little bit early. I want to give everyone an opportunity to come on, be with us from the beginning. Don't forget about our revival coming up, the 3rd through the 15th. It will all be live on YouTube. I will put it on and have it live on YouTube. I haven't looked to see how the streaming's coming through. I know I got Sister Sarah's phone here. I looked today and was doing some research on media or apps that I can use to stream straight to YouTube, and they all have the same problems that I'm facing right now. The right answer, or the only answer that I have, is we need 1,000 subscribers. So continue to promote it. We're coming up. I think we got 131 right now, and so we are coming up. But just continue to promote and let others know. And we need their help. To be honest, I need to send out a letter to all of our mission boards and all of our missionaries that we support and let them know that we need some help as well. It's funny, we'll get a letter when they need something. We need to send them a letter and say we need something. And what we need is, it's going to be absolutely free for them. I just need them to do it. And what a blessing it would be to help us to get 1,000 subscribers. It's not so that we can get paid through YouTube. It's not so that we can be recognized in any sort of way. It's so that we don't have to go through a third party. There's the moment that you go through a third party, you have delays, you have app issues. It's so much better to cut out that middleman and be able to go straight to the source. And so it would be a blessing to have that help. So if you can, continue to promote. I guess it's not so much if you can, because you're able, it's if you will. And so if you would, please continue to promote the YouTube page and let others know. We need some subscribers. We've got to get it to where we've got 1,000 subscribers. So all I've got to do is push a button and we'll be live immediately. And that would be such a blessing. Well, if you've got your hymn books tonight, turn to page 424. Hope that we're on. I seen Sister Kathy had texted and had commented on there. I'll send Sister Sarah over here after the first song or so, and we'll see if we've got more. Make sure it's coming through, because it's just spinning for me, but it was this morning as well. I don't know what's going on or why it's doing it. All I can say is definitely trying to be a discouragement, and we'll see what's going on. All right, here we go. Oh, come all ye faithful. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. On the last, yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Father, I thank You for coming for us, that we can come to You. Lord, a complete gift, completely free. And I pray that You would just help us tonight as we come back to Your Word, Lord, that we would seek Your truth. I pray, Father, meet with us. I pray You'd encourage us, Lord. I do pray for the safety of our church, Lord, that You would continue to protect us. I pray for this revival coming up, Lord, not just for Brother Danny as he prepares to come this direction and the messages, Lord. There's not a doubt in my mind that You're going to speak to his heart on what we need. But, Lord, I pray for safety. I pray, Lord, as well, that we wouldn't be sidetracked with fear. And, Lord, that we would be able to focus on Your desire and Your direction for our life. And, Lord, we think short term as far as this upcoming year and the direction that You would have for us. But, Lord, greater than that, I do pray that You would help us tonight. Lord, that we would truly seek Your face. Lord, to look further. And Lord, look to a generation that needs to hear the gospel, Lord. I think of this morning's message and the proclamation. Lord, how much it needs to be proclaimed today that the Savior was born. And Lord, I pray You'd meet with us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Well, take your hymn books, turn over to page 429. We tried to sing this a few weeks ago. We were having technical difficulties. Sister, are we up and going? Amen. Well, I think others are able to watch, and I hope it's not buffering too much. I'm trying to figure out what to do and how to work this, but, well, Lord will have to direct it. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Great song. Charles Wesley had wrote this, and it's got a lot of truth in it, so I encourage you to listen to the words as we sing it here. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Third verse. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. I don't know how many ever listen to Christmas music, maybe on BBN or one of those radio stations that play it as far as gospel, the hymns, the Christmas carols as far as the hymns. But a lot of times you won't hear some of those verses. But yet, what fact and what truth is in it? What Bible is really in this Christmas carol? And it's something that I remember when I was growing up, we had a Christmas pageant. And it started off, I want to say it was third graders all the way up through high school. Of course, the high school students were the theater, and then the band would play. And then all grades would have some part and some chorus. And certain grades would march into candles and white robes, and you'd go and sit down. And then there would be specials from the high school. And, you know, it was a big ordeal. It was important, and we told the birth of Christ, and of course that can't be done in schools today, or they say that it can't. How sad that children need to know. And I remember these songs. We would sing these songs. It wasn't about Santa Claus. It wasn't about jingle bells. It was all about Christ, and I'm thankful for that time in my childhood. But it breaks my heart to think that we can't have that in our country anymore. And instead we can have lies, because lies aren't offensive, but truth is. Take your hymn books, if you would, 433, Away in a Manger. 433, Away in a Manger. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. Amen. Well, take your Bibles back over the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. I hope that you had a good day. I hope you've enjoyed the weather. I know that we were supposed to get a little bit of rain, supposed to kind of be a little cool, a little nasty. But it's okay to have changes of season. If it was all hot and humid all the time, we'd really get wore out with it. I get wore out with what we have. And so I don't mind. Yeah, got to make a little bit of differences. You can't necessarily go outside and do all the same things. I don't even like it to get dark at 5 o'clock, but praise the Lord it does. Amen. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. Luke 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all that they that had heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, your grace, your mercy, as we come upon this Christmas season, Lord. Father, I want us to remember what a great gift we have in eternal life. But Lord, really the gift was you. You bring us that life, and it's only through you. And Lord, I pray that you would just meet with us tonight. And Father, just rejoice in what you've given us. And Father, that it would be fresh to us tonight. I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Well, we're in the season of gifts. Retailers depend upon it. They hire extra personnel, extra employees, temporary employees to get them through the holiday season. All of the stock markets are depending on people buying and going out and purchasing gifts. There's many people that will go in debt so that they can get gifts, so that they can give gifts. And I think of the FedEx, and I think of even the post office. We had a package delivered a few Sundays ago from the UPS or from Postal Service, USPS, and amazed me because I had got an email saying that our package had been delivered, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and I was like, well, you know, it couldn't have came through the post office. They're closed. And so, you know, this is just a crazy time trying to shuffle gifts and get gifts everywhere. And it's all about gifts. But yet, I don't know that it's really about the gift. And the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, of course, we know in Romans chapter number 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, for we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so as we think of these gifts, and we think of this time, we would have to look and see what's included. Especially as my older two boys have came up, you've got to make sure that what you're getting them is what they really want, and that it's going to include everything that it's supposed to have. And you know, even on anyone, I think about Jeremiah as well. There's certain stores that you order from. If you order it off the internet, you've got to see what the sizes run. Some sizes run big, some sizes run small. Some stores, you better order it two sizes bigger than you'd normally need it, just because they don't have it the right size. And you say, what's all that have to do? Well, you check over the product before you ever buy it. You want to see what's included in it. Well, tonight I'd like us to look a little bit about what's included. It's more than just needing some batteries or making sure that the batteries are there. It's more than making sure it's the desired fit or making sure that it's the desired product. And the gift that we've been given, I think of this in Luke chapter 2, and I find here, at the end of verse number 15, the Bible says, which the Lord hath made known unto us. This gift is available to all. And Jesus didn't just come for the shepherds, he came for all mankind, and all can come and be saved. And I look and I see this, and they said that the Lord hath made it known, and may I tell you that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. And he's given this gift, and it, you know, so many times we just kind of turn our nose up. I'm not necessarily saying those that already have, but may I remind you what we've got. And by the way, a gift does absolutely no good even if you get the gift and do nothing with it. Sister Sarah, every year, I guess since the boys were old enough to eat M&Ms, Sister Sarah every year gets us, y'all see those candy cane looking M&M containers? They have nothing to do except for a shape of a candy cane, and they have M&Ms in it. Well, and I haven't necessarily done this on purpose, but it just seems like, well, as soon as the boys get it, they open it up and those M&Ms are gone lickety-split. Now, Jacob likes the Reese's Pieces better, and so we look at this and we go, boy, those are gone. And you say, preacher, where's yours? Well, right now, and it's just kind of happened this way, I put it with the stuff that I get, and I set it in my pile, and then I take my pile and I put it on my dresser, and I put the stuff up where it goes, and I just set that candy cane of M&Ms up there on the dresser. And I looked the other day, and that candy cane from last year is still right there on the dresser. And full of M&Ms. I've never even opened it. It was 2019's candy cane of M&Ms. And I think about how worthless that gift was if I've never even enjoyed it. You say, preacher, what are you going to do? I don't know. I might go home tonight, open it up, and eat it. You say, are they still going to be good? Absolutely. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That, hey, listen, I've had it for a year. I mean, Friday will make a year since I've had those M&Ms. And they'll still be good. You know, as a child of God, there's many times that we get the gift of eternal life and we haven't really treasured it the way that it needs to be. We haven't really seen everything that's included in it. And so tonight, I'd like to see what's included, and how great a salvation we really have. And what a great Savior we have. Notice, if you would, of course we know, and I went over this morning, that they came to the shepherds. But I want us to understand something for a moment. I don't know what walk of life you're from. I don't know what even area. There's many that are not from this area. We've been here 20 plus years, but we didn't start out here. But aren't you glad that Jesus came as a personal Savior? And so I find, first of all, that what's included in this gift, what's included that the Lord has made known unto us, is we can have a personal Savior. Now I want you to hold your place in the book of Luke, chapter number 2. But I want you to turn over to the book of Psalms. I want you to turn over to the book of Psalms. In Psalms 23, I look here and I find how personal He is. In Psalm 23, I want you to look at verse number 1. And we'll look at the whole chapter here of Psalm 23. Because I want to point out now, I want you to see all of these pronouns of our possession in Him. Notice this. Let me give you an example. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I'm going to take you over to Psalm 27 here in a moment. And that's where I was in my Bible reading. Last week, I had a man that had texted me, and he had told me, he had put this verse down, and he said, "I'm glad it's a personal thing." And God just really spoke to my heart, and I'm thankful I have a personal Savior. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now notice this, look at verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will never fear, or will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Do you get the picture here? Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look over in Psalm 27. Look in Psalm 27. Look at just verse number 1. I'm just going to show you verse number 1. I can go all the way through this chapter and show you the same thing in many, many, many places in the Bible and show you the very same thing. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, I'm thankful that I have a personal Savior. In verse number 1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, aren't you glad for a personal Savior? First of all, I find that he's the Savior from sin. The Savior from sin. I've been this whole month, I've been preaching about the Redeemer. We had seen that Jesus was coming. And he is the Redeemer. Oh, listen, I've been bought back personally. Oh, it wasn't just some collective group. It wasn't just some generic signature or some generic check that came. No, no, no. It was a personal redemption. He personally had died on the cross for my sin. It was my sin that nailed him there. I don't remember the name of the song, but I remember that there's a song. And it was talking about the dream that this man had. And it was so awful. He had seen that Jesus was being nailed to the cross. And he goes up and he grabs the Roman soldier. And when he turns him around, it's his face. Oh, my dear friend, he's a Savior from sin. It was my sin that he personally died for. Oh, my dear friend, if you've never been bought back personally, then you've never been saved. You've heard of the gift, but you've never received the gift. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And so I find he's a personal Savior, a Savior from sin, but I find he's a personal Savior, a Savior in storms. In our verse over here in Psalm 23, over and over and over, we find here that he's the one for my storm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, I'm thankful that he's in me. I'm thankful he's in my ship. I'm thankful there's no storms of life that take him off guard. I'm thankful that he's always with me, that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm thankful that any way I turn, that he's leading me. He's already going behind, before me and in front of me. Did you notice there in Psalm 23, I always talk about his sheep dogs. I talk about his sheep dogs. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Oh, goodness and mercy. Oh, listen, you might think, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Preacher, I've got all these problems. Oh, I'm thankful that he's the Savior of the storm. I'm thankful that he'll still stand up and say peace to the wind, and the wind's still going to be calm, and the seas are going to stop. I'm thankful as long as he's in the ship's never going to sink. And so I find that he's the Savior in the storms. I find that he's the Savior in the still. Notice this. Look back at Psalm 23 and verse number 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, he's my Savior when it seems like nothing's wrong, because he gives me rest. He removes me from the chaos. You say, where do you see that? When he prepares the table for me before mine enemies. I don't know about you, but when I'm in chaos and when I've got all this stress going on, I had eating's the last thing I want. I don't desire. Sister Sarah, eating's the last thing I want. I remember Brother Joe Arthur was talking about Billy Kelly in a sermon, and he said that he was afraid of Billy Kelly, that when Billy got stressed, he would eat his way out of it. And they were out there in a ship, or out in a boat, and they were fishing, and they were out in the ocean. And Brother Joe Arthur is not a fisherman by any means. And Brother Kelly went to start the boat motor, and it would not start. And Brother Joe Arthur had said that he was afraid that He could just see Billy Kelly looking at him as if he was one of those on Bugs Bunny cartoon where he becomes the drumstick or the chicken leg to where Billy Kelly was gonna eat his way out of this situation. And so that's not me. When I'm in stress like that, I really don't want anything to eat. I don't necessarily find rest. But I'm thankful that my Savior brings me to the place at still waters. You see, God doesn't want chaos in our life. He is the Lord of all order. He doesn't want us to be in disarray. He doesn't want us to be distressed from everything going on. And so I find that He's my Savior in the still. That I can come to a place where it seems as if there's nothing wrong. Why? Because, well, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And so I find as well that what's included is not just a personal Savior. I find that what's included is the peace of the Savior. The peace of the Savior. Notice, if you would, back over in our text in Luke chapter 2. Look at verse number 14. In Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 14. In Luke 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace is not something that we really know a lot about. I'm not, as a world, we don't know a lot about peace. We know that everyone's searching for it. Everyone is looking in the wrong ways because you cannot have peace without God. But I find that He's the Savior of peace and that I have the peace of the Savior. In verse number 14 there in Luke chapter 2, but I want you to look over in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, look at verse 27. John 14 and verse number 27. Notice this. In John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so I look here and I find that He brings peace with God. He brings us to a place where we have peace with God. I look at this first and foremost is because He is the Redeemer. You see, I cannot have peace with God when I have God's wrath upon me. I cannot have peace with God when I still have sin in control of me. Sin's wages upon me. And so I find that He brings peace with God to my life. And the wrath of God is no longer on me. And the fact that I'm no longer the enemy of God. In Romans 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so I'm thankful to have this peace with God. Why is it? Because I have the peace of the Savior. He's done this. I haven't done anything. All I've done is received the gift of Jesus, eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's all I've done is receive this gift. And He's given me peace with God. But then I find as well that because I have Him, that He brings me peace of God. You see, this is that inner peace. This is the peace where we learn not to be anxious. Is there anyone in here? Now, I'm not guilty of stressing much. It takes quite a bit to get me going. But there's some times that we all become anxious. There's some times that we all have some issues and some struggles with something going on in our life. And it seems like the greater the storm, the more anxious we get. And we want it solved right now. And I'm no different. When I have something going on and I want it solved, I want it solved right now. And yet I find that I can have the peace of God in my life. And my inner man, that comfort that I need from the Holy Spirit will bring me peace of God. That we have no need to worry. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter number 4. And look, if you would, I actually want us to look at verse number 5. Most of the time we just look at verse 7, but I want you to see that these all go together. And the Bible says in verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. What's he saying? Don't worry. He's not saying go walk out in front of the bus. But he's saying quit worrying about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And he's saying that, look, you're going to have stresses. You're going to have some troubles. You're going to have those storms that we were just talking about, that he's the Savior of them. But because he's the Savior of them, we can have the peace of God in us while we're going through those storms, while those trials are so hard. I get so aggravated at this movement, this liberal movement or contemporary movement that says that you're not going to have, God doesn't want you to have trials. Tell that to the Apostle Paul when he had the thorn in the flesh and he prayed 3 times and Jesus told him that his grace is sufficient for thee, that it's in his weakness that God's strength is seen. Oh, my dear friend, it's God's desire to continue to lead us, and the path that he continues to lead us in isn't our choice of paths many times. And there are some trials and there are some afflictions. There are some heartaches. And as much as he can stand up and tell the wind to quit blowing, he can also tell your heart to quit worrying. And we can have peace of God through it. I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know if you've ever had those times where you didn't know the answer. But God just gives you peace through it. You know why we so often don't have the peace of God? At the very beginning of verse number 7 there of Philippians chapter 4, there's a little conjunction. It says, and. You see, if you don't come to the place in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, then you won't see the peace of God. You see, this is speaking about the fact that I can have the peace of God because I can go to God through Christ and I can lay it down at His feet. Be careful for nothing. I don't need to worry about it. Lord, I've turned it over to you. I can truly see in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7, cast all your cares upon him for he careth for you. That's what this is saying. And I can have that peace of God because this is all included in that gift. It's all included. I find as well that he brings peace on earth. He brings peace on earth. That's what our text said here in Philippians. I'm sorry, in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 14. And on earth, peace. That's speaking about peace on earth. His kingdom is guaranteed. He's coming back as king. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. But may I tell you that this kingdom that is speaking about for peace on earth is not going to have peace on earth until he's on the throne on earth. You see, right now this kingdom brings division. I'm just as concerned as the next person for what's going to happen in 2021. I'm not worried about a COVID. I'm more worried about the church. I'm more worried about what's going to take place in the idea of Christianity and the movement against it. You see, those that preach the truth are the ones that are going to be persecuted. Those that continue to live godly and say that the others are not according to the Word of God. May I tell you, that's how it's always been. Remember that Jeremiah had told them that he had got locked up because he had told them the truth. Isaiah was rejected because he had told them the truth. Micah was rejected because he had told him the truth. Time and time again, John the Baptist was beheaded because he had told him the truth. Paul was persecuted because he told him the truth. Do you see the pattern? Throughout the history of time, if you would just go with the flow and say, yeah, you can do whatever you want and God will look down, he'll turn a blind eye to it and everything's fine, no one is ever going to bother you. But if you'll stand and you'll tell them that the only way to heaven is through Jesus and faith in Him alone, someone's going to come after you. And I don't know that in these next few years we aren't going to see a drastic change in what we can do and what we can't. because He promises peace on earth. Oh, it's just gearing up for when He's actually coming back. It's just gearing up for when His kingdom really takes hold. But may I tell you that I already have peace on earth because He's already King. He's already on the throne in my life. And so I find as well, I look here and what's included in it isn't just a personal Savior. It isn't just the peace of the Savior, but I find it's the praise of the Savior. Now I know that praise is one of those areas that's so misrepresented. And I look here and I find the praise of the Savior, that their praise was for a new purpose. Now the Bible tells us here in verse number 20, and we'd looked at this briefly this morning, and the Bible says, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And so I look here and I find that their praise was for a new purpose. They were no longer living for self. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Well, they were headed back to the sheep. But look at verse 18. I'm sorry. Look at verse 17. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And so I look here and I find that they have a new purpose. And God saved us, and He saved us for a purpose. It's not so that we can just put this on our mantle, and it's not so that we can have some kind of a trophy, some kind of a lapel pin, so we can say, "Boy, I've made a profession, and now I'm saved, I've prayed a prayer, and I've put my faith in all of this, and instead, I have a Savior and not a prayer. And I have a reason to praise, because I can't praise a prayer, but I can praise my Savior. And I can have a new purpose." In 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Oh, may I tell you, they have a new purpose of life. I told you this morning, they went to the same sheep. Those sheep didn't change one bit. If anything, when they got there and the shepherds go, "Hey, sheep, we're back. Did you miss us?" They went, "You was gone." Didn't even notice them a bit. But they've got a new purpose in life. Yeah, they're shepherds. But the Bible says, "Do all things unto the glory of God." It doesn't matter what you're doing. My purpose is to glorify Him. Did you notice that? They were praising Him and they were glorifying Him. With every ounce of their life, it was lived now for Him, not for them. Oh, I wonder how many today have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and yet their sole purpose in life is themselves. How sad. When we should be doing everything that we can to glorify Him with our life that He's given us. You say, "Well, preacher, it's really my life." No, hold on a second. He gave me this breath. You know, I think about that malefactor, that thief on the cross. The one side, the man asked him to remember him in his kingdom. And Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The other one cursed him, mocked him, made fun of him. And God gave him that breath. Everything we have is from God. Everything that the shepherds had, they were praising God with. Why? They had a new purpose. They had a reason to praise. We have a reason to praise today. Oh, I'm thankful that it's included. Listen, it's just built in. You get saved, it's just built in. You don't have to hoop and holler. I like to hoop and holler. I like to be loud. I like to amen and hallelujah and glory to God. I like all of that. But maybe it's just the fact that you praise Him by telling others about how good He is. I'm not talking about, "Well, you know, He knows." He knows. No. Well, they can see me. I mean, they knew that Noah was building an ark. Noah was known as the preacher of righteousness. So I find that their praise was not just for a new purpose, but I find it was for a new position. They had an attitude alignment. Now, I don't know, and the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I do know man pretty well. And I do know us pretty well. I really believe that if we were to study it out enough, we could probably prove in Scripture that they were complainers. They were probably even murmuring. Do you think that maybe they were out there, and I had already told you this morning they had a fire? I don't know if I can prove it in Scripture, but I can tell you that if I was there, we would have had a fire. And that they would have had this time, and they would have been sitting around, and the sheep are out there, and they're sitting around the fire. And you know, Jeremiah, these sheep are the same today as they were yesterday. Those sorry rascals, they will not follow us for nothing. Man, that one sheep that's over, that little lamb over there just will not do what it's supposed to do. You know, and it's kind of miserable out here. I'm tired of using a rock as a pillow. But you know what I find? That we forget. And we have this attitude of grumbling and complaining, or we would even call it murmuring and complaining. I was just doing a little bit of it before the service began. In the weather, do we not complain about the weather? And yet, who's in control of it? May I show you that they had a new position? Because they had an attitude alignment. They weren't grumbling and complaining. Instead, they were just rejoicing in the Lord. Wouldn't it do us good tonight to just enjoy our salvation? Remember the psalmist David, he said, "Restore in me the joy of thy salvation." You know, it would do us good tonight to just rejoice in the Lord. It's great joy. It's great joy that they bring. It's great joy that we have. And it's all included. And I find as well, they didn't just have an attitude alignment. They had an eternal association. They had an eternal association. I told you this morning, this became their God. When they were shepherds out in that field, they couldn't come to the temple and worship Him. They weren't allowed. They could raise a sacrifice for Him. They were expected to offer a sacrifice, but they couldn't come and worship. But now they can worship and praise. Now they can come to Him. Oh, listen to me, we're nothing more than dogs. But I'm thankful for the crumbs that fell from the Master's table that we're able to eat. Aren't you glad that we can praise Him today? It's so important that we see the significance of praising. That we're able to let others know, hey, this was just included. I didn't get the extra package. No, I just got the entire package. I got all of it. I got a personal Savior. He's all mine. There wasn't one shepherd that stayed back. I got the peace of the Savior. I don't have to worry. I have peace with God. I have the peace of God. And I have peace on earth. And I have the praise for my Savior. Because it's all inclusive. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I love You. And I'm thankful for the life that You've given me through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us tonight that we would rejoice in this free gift. Lord, that we would really take note for all that's included. Lord, I know I just scratched the surface tonight. There's so much more. But yet, Lord, we can stop right there and say, it's already more than what we deserve. And Lord, I pray, just have Your will and way. Keep us safe, Lord. Watch over us. I pray for the revival coming up. Lord, I pray our hearts would be directed towards You. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. and amen. I encourage you to come back. We'll be here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We'll be on YouTube and we'll be live in-house. And so I encourage you to come back to us and we'll have service. Pray that you'll have a good week and we'll see y'all Wednesday night. Thank you.